Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Get everything you need for training and match days in store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome along to another edition of The Score into the month of February, and it's as busy as ever. Between now and 8 o'clock, we'll take a look ahead to another weekend where there's plenty happening. The double header at O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny on Sunday will take centre stage, and we'll look ahead to those games later in tonight's programme. And there's plenty more besides, and on tonight's show we're going to feature local rugby with Alan McRae of Finn Valley Rugby Club joining me in studio later on. There's athletics too, so much happening at so many levels in athletics at present, and my first guests this evening are two very well known figures from the sport, both members of Lifford Strabane Athletic Club, Sharon Foley and Brendan O'Donnell. You're welcome to studio.
Thanks very much.
Well, Brendan, we could probably talk for a couple of hours tonight, given all that's happening across local athletics at the moment. But I've got yourself and Sharon in specifically to talk about the spring series of 5Ks, which your club has organised again this year.
Yes, Dermot. Yeah, we're having the third of our three races on Sunday in Lifford. This is actually the ninth year that we've run the three race series. And look, every year it's going really, really well. I mean, every race we've had 200 plus athletes. If we take the combination of the two races alone, we've over 300 athletes, and hopefully by this weekend we'll have, you know, collectively about 400 athletes that will have taken part over the three races. So it's going really well. You know, as I say, it's at this time in the year, you know, coming in after Christmas, people are looking to, you know, get out and about, and it's a great time to actually get out and do a bit of running.
And that was the idea of it in the first place. Hard to believe that it's 9 years, Brendan.
Nine years, you can say that again. Yeah. It's hard to believe. But yeah, I mean, you know, we've been running races with the club for 20 plus years. And, you know, the three race series was something that we had an idea of many, many years ago. And it was something that, you know, we tried to bring into the local communities as well. You know, so, you know, the idea of the three races, you know, three different venues. So when we started this off, it was St Johnston, / Carrigans, Raphoe, Lifford. For a couple of years, we took one of the races into Strabane, and over the last 2 years, we've been back into Raphoe again, Carrigans, Raphoe, Lifford. So, you know, the idea of the race is to give a bit of variety, variety to the athletes, but also to bring, you know, events into local communities as well, from which the club draws much of its support and membership.
Yeah, and Sharon, you've already had two races of the series this year. You've been in Carrigans the first weekend, Raphoe a couple of weeks ago, and this Sunday it's Lifford as the final of the three.
That's right, yes. Yeah. You know, as I say, it's growing and growing each year, and people actually, it's on their calendar as one of the must-dos of each year. So, as I say, we're grateful for all the people, and they travel from far and wide, even from across the border and from, you know, up in County Down in some places, you know. So, as I say, it is growing, and I think the race this weekend actually is a new course that we're testing out again, and I think it's a good flat course, so we're hoping for a good time in that as well.
Yeah, because there is a tough 5K in Lifford, isn't there? There's a tough route there.
Well, we've changed it slightly, yeah, you know, from previous years where you used to have the hill in the main street there for three times, but I think it's only a once this year, and we're finishing with a flatter loop nearest the track.
Yeah, one of the aspects of this event as well, or one of the things that I've noticed, is it gets so much support from all across the county visiting clubs. You know it by the different coloured, you know, shirts that are there, the athletic tops that people. It's amazing how many people get involved.
I think, you know, as I say, this running and 5Ks and couch to 5Ks, it has grown, it has evolved over the last number of years. Mm. So, and I do think, you know, there's kind of a bit of, you know, return the favour. You know, if we have a 5K, the others support, you know, we all support each other's in the travel, and, you know, each one wants to try and better themselves and their times, you know, week on, week out. So, as I say, yeah, it's a bit of a social thing as well, you know.
Yeah, not an easy time of the year, though, to be organising races. It's cold as well, Brendan. I know that's not really a factor, but it's something that has to be kept in mind.
Yeah, well, you know, I think 20 years ago that if you saw people out running in the cold and the wind and the rain and, and the snow, you would have thought there was a bit of madness to it all. But, you know, people are accustomed to it now. And, you know, one of the things that we've, at the this time of the year, I think there's only 1 year of the nine where we've actually had to cancel a race, you know, where just the snow was on the ground. And look, at this time of the year, you've got to put safety first.
Yeah.
You know, you're playing with the you're playing with the weather, and even this Sunday, you know, they're talking about a, they're talking about a storm again. So we're just going to have to wait and see how this pans out, you know, and make a call on this maybe tomorrow or Saturday, you know, because if there's a chance that, you know, it's dangerous, then we would cancel it. No race, no event is worth putting people's lives in danger. So we'll have to see how this goes. But look, that's the time of the year for it. It's good to get people out. But it's the time of the year we are playing with the weather as well.
Yeah. Sharon, plenty happening in Lifford and Strabane AC at the moment. The Spring Series is only one part of a busy calendar of events.
That's true. As I said, just last weekend there, Dermot, we had the Ulster Juvenile Track and Field Championships where, you know, a lot of clubs in Donegal and the North West and our own club in itself took several athletes up over the 2 days to qualify and compete, you know, for the All-Irelands, which will be held now at the end of March, beginning of April. So we had great success and, you know, a lot of athletes winning medals, personal bests, and even just participating in among that. I do think, you know, we are lacking that up the northwest, that we have no indoor facility here. Mm. So that's why our Ulster Championships have to be taken to Dublin and
which
they were in Athlone.
Bizarre, really.
Bizarre. Yeah. But the thing is, they do have the facilities and that, and it is, you know, but it is something that should be strived for, you know, maybe in the north, maybe what's going to happen with this new, you know, government or whatever, you know, maybe something could happen and have something like that on our doorstep.
Yeah. You're enjoying the coaching, Sharon. People will remember you for your own exploits as a high jumper, and you were involved in other athletics events as well, but you're now putting the time into the young people.
That's true. Like I was saying to you, to yourself there before we came on air, like it's a good few years since I was last speaking here, and the last time I spoke was with Miles Gallagher way back when I was hanging up the spikes. But since that, I've been enjoying the coaching side of the club, you know, involved in that. I still get a kick, a buzz, I get nervous, I get, you know, excited about kids doing well and my own kids in the club and that. So yeah, as I say, the buzz continues. Where else would it be?
Yeah, you know? And your involvement in the sport was probably down to thanks to the volunteers that were involved in Lifford back in your day. So you're just giving a wee bit back like they
that's,
did.
Yeah, that's true. As I said, you know, things have evolved in the last while. You know, there's coaches, you know, just recently there was 30 level one coaches there doing a course there. And, you know, things have evolved. It's got bigger and better. And as I say, the coaching facilities, resources and everything is way, you know, way in advance now. So it's great to be part of it, you know what I mean? And hopefully the future's bright for all this coming through.
Yeah, and plenty of young people able to look up to somebody like Sharon. Great to have her involved in the club, Brendan.
Absolutely. Dermot, you know, I think Sharon was probably there from when she was about 9 years of age, and she's still there. And, you know, she's been loyal to the club. She, you know, and she's been there through the ups and downs. You know, when, you know, there was a time maybe when the club kind of was, there was only a handful of athletes, and she's been there through thick and thin, and her family have been there through thick and thin. You know, if you go down this weekend, or you even take any of those weekends with the races, Sharon's mum and dad have, you know, are there, you know, helping out, etc. So it's been a real family thing for Sharon. You know, a lot of the kids nowadays might remember what Sharon did, but I mean, you know, Sharon was at a world championships. You know, she's had many, many national titles, great success as an athlete. And I think that's what's important, you know, that, you know, for athletes when maybe their day has come, you know, in terms of, you know, hanging up the shoes, etc., that they do give that wee bit back, because, you know, they've a wealth of experience, they've so much more to give back. And, you know, the club's very, very fortunate to have the likes of Sharon and other coaches of Sharon's quality, you know, in with the club, because they certainly do look up to her.
They certainly do. Overall, things going well then at Lifford Strabane. A kind of a unique situation there, because it's a cross-border club, which is pretty unusual.
Yeah, it's unusual, you know, and like just there last year, the club, Lifford Athletic Club, you know, celebrated 50 years of its existence. And Lifford Strabane, and Strabane itself, Strabane Athletic Club, was even older, as an older club again. And it was something that we tried to do in 2015. You know, it's unique in that, you know, if you look at anywhere else on the island, you know, two clubs sitting side by side, you know, it didn't really make an awful lot of sense. Mm-hmm. You know, I think partition has had caused this, you know, sort of two separate clubs. And, you know, for us, it made sense. And, you know, we've worked really, really well with Strabane. Like, we've, you know, over half our athletes, you know, between juveniles, seniors, etc., are from across the bridge in Strabane. You know, our main base is obviously out in Lifford. But it's gone really, really well. You know, we've been delighted with the way things have gone over the years. But as you say, it's unique in that it is a cross border club.
Yeah.
And you know, the way we look at it is that they're twin towns. You know, Lifford, Strabane, and any other, you know, part of the country, there'll be just two towns sitting, yeah, side by side. So it's unique in that way.
Well, that's great. Well, finally, before we finish up, then just back to this weekend, weather permitting, this race will go ahead on Sunday morning. For anybody thinking about getting along, Brendan, what's the plan? What's the setup?
Okay, so the race itself starts at 10:30 in Lifford. So registration, etc., is at the athletic track from about 9 a.m. And so just come along. You know, we've over 150 who have taken part. You know, who've, you know, signed up for the three races themselves. And then, you know, anybody can come on the day as well. So even if you just want to come out and run the race and not be part of, you know, the overall points, you know, thing, which is ultimately what a lot of people are gearing us towards, you can just come and run the event on the day as well. And as Sharon said, it's a new course. We tried it out in July this year. We did a bit of work down on a local road and got quite a bit of funding. We put a lot of funding in ourselves, and we got a lot of funding through the council to create this amenity down beside the athletic track. And we're going to use that again. This year was really popular in July, so we're going to do that again on Sunday.
Well, hope it all goes well, and hope you have a positive end to this year's Spring Series. Sharon Foley and Brendan O'Donnell, thanks so much for coming in this evening.
Thanks,
Jim. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Gear up for pre-season and get ready for the best year yet for your club. Shop now at michaelmurphysports.ie.
You're welcome along to The Score. A big crowd is expected in Letterkenny this Sunday, where O'Donnell Park will play host to a doubleheader, Donegal taking on Galway in both the ladies and men's National Football League games. And given that the election count has taken place at the nearby Aura Centre, well, traffic will be extremely busy on Sunday, no doubt about that. And parking will be restricted as well. And ahead of this weekend, a traffic management plan has been put in place. John McAniff is the PRO of the Donegal County Board, and he joins me on the line. John, there'll be huge interest in these two games on Sunday. And I suppose the advice to supporters coming into town is to make themselves aware of the traffic management plan to make things a little easier for everyone concerned.
Yes. And we've done our best to publicise the traffic management plan. We've had it up on the Donegal GAA website. I've sent it to all the local media. I have sent it to the Galway PRO as well to publicise around Galway. We put it on Twitter, we put it on Facebook and Instagram. And tomorrow, which will be particularly interesting to the people coming from Galway, I hope we'll be circulating a map which shows where the best parking places are and where to catch the shuttle buses, which we're running from both sides of the pitch. In fact, we're running a shuttle bus as well for traffic coming in from the Glenty side that will be leaving the Middlebridge Inn at Clarkins Car Park.
Yeah. The games at O'Donnell Park, John, every year, they attract big crowds, but the fact that it's a double header, Galway going well, Donegal off to a good start, there's going to be huge interest.
Yeah, there should be two cracking games. And, you know, we would encourage people to come early because of the traffic, number one. Number two, because they're going to be two very, very good games. And both Galway and Donegal and the ladies both have one win under their belts. And both of them will be hoping to do well in the league. And then, of course, it's the same for Donegal and Galway. Donegal, of course, have 3 points out of the possible four, having dropped a home point to Mayo. And Galway had a good win over Monaghan at home, and then they were very, very unlucky actually to lose down in Kerry last week. So, and they are playing very, very attractive football, which Donegal, of course, always do as well. So it should be a good game.
Yeah, plenty of preparations then going in for this weekend, John, off the field. And I know that you Donegal GAA are involved with St Union's GAA Club in organising various matters. Shuttle buses will be in place for supporters, and I'm sure the advice to fans as well is to get there early.
hopefully that the hopefully when the fans arrive around 11:30 or thereabouts, that the first rush to the Aura Centre will be over. As I said, there's buses from the old Dunstow area in Letterkenny for the people coming from that direction and for the Galway people. And we have been, in, as well as putting the shuttle buses, obviously we've been talking to the Gardaí, and part of what we have been distributing has been the Gardaí traffic management plan for Sunday, which essentially says that once the Aura car park is full, they will actually be closing off the Convent Road, and the only motorists that will get in will be residents of the Ballymacoole, Croxton and Connemara areas, HGV buses, and disabled drivers.
Yeah.
So that's another incentive to actually come early before the road is closed.
Okay.
Probably sometime around 11:30, I would think.
Yeah, it will be. And supporters, they can get all this information on the Donegal GAA website, and the details are out there on social media.
Yeah, and they go to the Donegal GAA website, which is www.donegalgaa.ie. And if they go to, they don't even need to go to the news section at the moment, because it's the top item, and it'll be on the landing page if they just scroll down, or they can just click news, which is in the top right hand corner, and they can get all the details they need about the traffic management there.
Okay. John McAniff, thanks very much for joining us tonight.
You're very welcome, James, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to further publicise it.
That's what we're there for, John. Appreciate that. Thanks very much.
Hope everyone comes and enjoys the day.
We will. Thank you.
Goodbye, James. Take care. Bye.
John McAniff there, the PRO of the Donegal GAA County Board. Well, Donegal have started their season well in Division 1 of the National League, and after their draw with Mayo and last weekend's win in Meath, they suddenly find themselves leading the way in the table on scoring average. Martin McHugh, Galway have shown in their two games that they will certainly cause problems for a few teams this year, and that could start with Donegal on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think the big thing that on Sunday is the weather. It's given very, very bad weather, and it's given heavy wind, which, you know, I always remember playing football, you know, Jeremy, you didn't mind playing in rain or that, you know, but wind just spoils a football match, and any kind of a football match, it just really spoils it. So that's kind of a big, big bearing on all the games at the weekend. It's given bad weather for, you know, big ones coming in Saturday and Sunday, and hopefully, you never know, you know, things, you know, sometimes the weather forecast to get it wrong, it might be that way, but if it is, it'll spoil it a lot, because we've, as you just said there, Galway are playing a fabulous brand of football. You know, Donegal are a good footballing team, and we're looking forward to a really good game, and we know how good, you know, the Donald pitch is.
Yeah.
And be in great shape and everything else, but I'd just be a wee bit fearful that conditions will have a big bearing on it.
Yeah, I was out past the O'Donnell Park today, Martin, there's plenty of preparations going on ahead of Sunday. The pitch does look to be in excellent condition, and hopefully the rain will stay away, and we can enjoy a good game.
Yeah, that's it. That's what you can expect. But this time of year, you know, you have to prepare for everything. And I suppose people say it's the same. It's the same for both teams and that there, you know. And hey, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, it's an important game for Donegal. The first three games in the league were very important. Donegal, when the draw was made, you know, you had Mayo at home, away to Meath, and then at home to Galway. And you'd be hoping to, you know, you're hoping now at this stage you have 5 points after that before you head for Croke Park, you know, and considering then the last match if you head down to Kerry. So, you know, you consider Dublin and Kerry being the two toughest teams in it. So I think it's a big game for Donegal, particularly, you know, the fact that we've had two of these three games at home, and you're away to probably, looking at it, the weakest team in the division. So you'd feel that most teams will beat Meath. You would expect most teams to get the 2 points against Meath. So from that point of view, I think it's important. Donegal, you know, need a result on Sunday. Very important for them to get that. And, you know, from the point of view of the players that are missing or to come back and everything else, you know, I think it would make you in a great position towards the end of the league. And I think, you know, looking at it, when the championship starts earlier now, Dermot, I think it's important that particularly teams in Division 1, that you can get yourself fairly safe in Division 1, and then you can start concentrating on the championship, particularly when Donegal play Tyrone in the first round of the Ulster.
Yeah, see, there seems to be a real buzz about it all this season, Martin. I mean, the good start will have helped, but, you know, these are exciting times for Donegal. Declan Bonner has had players missing through injury. A couple of players have retired as well, but the players that have been given a chance seem to be able to produce the goods.
Yeah, that that's it exactly, Dermot. You know, as you said there, the important thing every year is to get in new players and young players and getting them in there. They give the whole thing a big lift. You know, and if we look at it from Donegal's point of view, you know, we don't know what players will be back later on, and particularly back for the championship. But you consider that you're Stephen McMenamin, who's had a great year last year, and Paddy McGrath. We know what Paddy's able to take to the table. You know, them two players have to come back. You know, you have Darrow Weil and the half back line to come back in there. You have Jason McGee, who we know how good he's been this last couple of years. And then up front, you know, you have Patrick McBrearty, Oisin Gallen, to what they're going to add to it all. So, you know, that's as important to get a squad of players. And I think that's the big thing that's happening at the minute from a Donegal point of view. You're starting to build a squad of players. And we know with the likes, especially Dublin and Kerry, and teams that want to compete with Dublin and Kerry, you do need, you know, that squad of players to do that, to make a difference, you know, because what happens, you know, with the championship now, and particularly if you get into the Super 8s, with the Super 8s, you know, you're playing every week and injuries and, you know, sending offs and that play a part in it. So you do need a squad of players. So definitely Donegal are building towards that. And, you know, next Sunday will be a big part of it, because Galway are being classed as, you know, a top four team in the country at the minute. And with new management and everything else, it's given them a good lift. So be a good test for Galway as well.
It certainly will. What about Galway then? They named their team, I think, Martin, didn't they? A couple of changes. Patrick Joyce is certainly making an impact.
Oh, he is, no doubt about it. And we know how good a footballer he was himself. You know, he's got a bit of experience in management as well. He was with the Galway under 20 team, and they got to an All Ireland semi-final last year. And he was involved in the Irish team going to Australia with Joe Kiernan and that. So he's got that experience as well, and being involved with players. We know how good a player he was himself, and it's plain to be seen that he always loved kicking the ball himself. And you can see that his Galway team, he wants to, and listening to interviews and everything else, Dermot, he wants them to kick the ball and attack. And coming up against maybe, you know, Ulster teams particularly, you know, that do get men back in that, there it'll be interesting to see how they cope with that there, Galway, how they deal with it, watching them and doing that. You know, I mean, the Kerry game, we always know Kerry, any team that plays Kerry is going to be opened, it's going to be good football, it's going to be nice. But it's different, you know, when you're up against teams that will draw players and as sweepers and that there, how they cope with it. They've got always had quality footballers in Galway, particularly in their forward line. You know, they have a lot of quality, you know, and the likes, we all know the likes of, particularly Shane Walsh, how you know, a quality player is. He made him captain this year and everything else, and it's definitely not affecting his game and everything else. And it's great to see him. It's been nice, great to see him on Sunday and Letterkenny and that. But I think they have a lot of quality. They always had a lot of quality all over the field. Maybe their defence is not as good as it was in the past, but again, they have players to come back into it and all that. Their likes of Liam Silk from Corrifan will get back in there. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. They're looking forward to seeing them, because we know the quality they had, what they're about. They've changed their style of football. Will that help them? Just will it, you know, time will tell, and wait and see.
Yeah. O'Donnell Park has hosted some big players in recent seasons, Martin. You know, supporters here have had a great chance to watch some fantastic players in action. We've had Kerry here, Mayo, Monaghan in recent seasons. The only thing, and I'm almost afraid to ask this, what about the Donegal's record at this venue? Is that even a factor, Martin?
Yeah, well, it's a very hard one to understand, because, you know, we know that Donegal are a good footballing team and they like playing on good surface. And I mean, that's exactly, you know, what Letterkenny is. I mean, St. Eunan's pitch, it's fabulous. It's a fabulous surface. It's everything else. It's exactly right for good footballers. And I know from, you know, talking to a lot of footballers, and particularly players in my own club, Kilcar, the year I managed them, the players always wanted to play in Donald Park, and they'd be happy enough to play county finals, semi-finals running there, you know. And I think other players feel the same way. So I just think, you know, it's just not just on the record the way it is, you know. And suppose maybe people say it gets into people's heads and everything else. I don't think that is any bearing on it. I mean, the pitch doesn't matter where you're playing football, and the better the pitch, the better. And so we know O'Donnell Park is a fabulous pitch. So hopefully, you know, that'll be put to bed on Sunday, you know, and just get it out of the system and everything else, and, you know, let it become a pitch that we're hard to beat in. Because I heard somebody was talking to some of the Galway people, and they can't understand why Donegal are taking them to Letterkenny. And somebody then told them, you should be happy Donegal's taking you to Letterkenny, because they they have a very bad record there themselves. Yeah. So it's, you know, so it's just interesting, you know, everything else. But I think that, look at it, you know, when you've got a fabulous pitch like St. Eunice pitch is, you know, there's no reason. I don't think if you talk to any of the players or anything else, they're happy enough playing there. They want to play there. And I think, you know, at a stage with the, as I said, the surface and everything else on it, and, you know, the big crowd behind them and everything on Sunday. And as I said, hopefully the one stays away. I don't mind the rain, yeah, playing football in rain, but I just hope the one, we don't have a too breezy, because it does spoil a football match and that there. So I think, look at everybody looking forward to it. And the important thing will be getting 2 points. It'll take a lot of pressure off when we're heading to Croke Park.
That's true. Well, the match on Sunday is one of 3 games in Division 1 on Sunday. Martin Tyrone against Kerry, Meath against Mayo, the other matches, and it all starts on Saturday night with Dublin against Monaghan. How do you see things shaping up in Division 1?
Yeah, it's a very tough division now. I mean, watch Meath last Sunday. It's very hard to see where they get points. Maybe they will be better, you know, maybe next weekend against Mayo and that there. And, you know, I couldn't see them in any worse than they were against Donegal. They were very disappointing. I was actually down at Andy McEntee, the Mayo manager's mother died, and I was actually at the wake, and just Meath people were saying it was one of the worst performances they've seen, and they were very down in the dumps about it and everything else. But maybe against a different team, you know, they'll be different, you know. But it's, you know, we still expect Mayo to go to Navan and get a victory. I expect Dublin, you know, Desi Farrelly he's won a game away from home, he'd want to win a game in Croke Park as well, so you expect them to get one over Monaghan, even though Monaghan had a great result against Tyrone. And the other one, suppose, is the big one, Cal McShane back for Tyrone. You know, that word's good for them, they need it, definitely listen to the reports from it. You know, they're struggling to, in their full forward lane particularly, to hold on to ball. The Frank Burns factor didn't work for them playing him in there, so that Cal McShane, he'd probably talk a sub or whatever on Sunday, but you know, that'll make a difference. But it's still hard to see Kerry with the quality they have, you know, all over the field and everything else. And Tyrone are struggling a bit all over with the players you're missing. I mean, if you take, you know, Peter Hart was only back the last day. I know we'll have a week's training behind him now, but still, you don't expect him to be that sharp. Hamshi is missing and out, and you have Matty Donnelly missing as well. So if you take that quality of player out of your squad, you know, and even McShane will not be back or not be there, Cal McShane, so you don't expect him to be that sharp. So I expect Kerry to win that in there. You expect Dublin to win in Croke Park and Mayo to win, and hopefully Donegal can win as well, because home advantage is important in the National League, and it's important, you know, from Donegal's point of view, that you won your home games. And we did drop that point against Mayo. I mean, it was, you know, a point dropped, and hopefully that doesn't cost us before the end of the year.
Yeah. And just before I let you go, Martin, Fermanagh in Division 2, they're away to Westmeath this weekend. And what about Derry? They haven't enjoyed the best of starts in Division 3. It's going to be a very tight division this year, and that's already certainly obvious. They lost last weekend against Down. They'll be hoping to make home advantage count. They play Tipperary this weekend.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Home advantage is very, very important in National League. And, you know, we look at Derry, you know, I know club football's good in Derry and everything else, but I mean, you don't go to Division 4 for no reason. The leagues, you know, don't tell lies, you know, and, they were in Division 4 for a reason, and then they got back into Division 3, and maybe people thought they were going to be good enough to come back into Division 2 automatically. But with the likes of Cork and Down and season teams like that there, Longford be knocking on the door a while, you know, it's a difficult division. I suppose the important thing in Derry from the point of view is No, they've only got that 1 point against Leitrim. They're going to need a one. It's the home games. They play Tipperary at home. It's a big game for them. Tipperary are a physically strong team. Conditions, you know, could suit Tipperary and everything else. But, you know, important for Derry to pick up the 2 points there, because if they pick up the 2 points, they'll be looking at trying to battle for promotion and hoping that Cork won all their games and they would try to get up as the second team with a battle against maybe Down and Longford and these teams. But if they don't win, they'll be looking at relegation and that there and battling to stay in the division. So it's a big game, big game for Derry. From Fermanagh's point of view, you know, he's taken in Ryan McMenamin has taken in some of the young lads, and the young lads that played last year a year older, and you know, it was a great result. They did really well against Kildare in the first game. They could have got a result in Kildare, and then the last day they were 9-3 down at half time, and they came back and showed great spirit and grit. They're hard to beat in Brewster Park. It's a big game against, they're going out to play Westmeath, and that's a big game for them. And again, the winner of that game will be looking at, you know, trying to get promotion, where the loser will be looking at relegation. That's how tight these games are and everything else. You know, they really are tough. They really are tough games. You know, a lot of tough games in that division. I mean, let's give Leash a lot of credit. They came from Division 4 to Division 3 to Division 2, and they're in Division 2 now, and they've, you know, they've got a point away to Roscommon, and the last day, you know, they beat Armagh home, two of the favourites that were tipped to go up. So all divisions are very, very tough. There's nothing really between them. But I think, as you said, Dermot, winning your home matches is very, very important. That's why it'd be important for Derry to get a win this weekend and Donegal.
Okay. Well, Martin, thanks very much for joining us this evening. You're on commentary on Sunday along with Pádraig Kilfertaigh, so we look forward to tuning in. Okay.
Thanks, Dermot. Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. Martin McHugh there. And that game on Sunday throws in at 2 o'clock. The ladies' match is on at 12 o'clock, and coverage here on Highland Radio will be brought to you in association with McKenna Centra. We're going to go for another quick break. You're welcome back to The Score. Action tonight in the Ulster Senior League, 7:30 kickoff. So they're just underway at Dry Arch Park, Bunnaker United against Derry City Reserves. And a result from earlier on in the FAI Schools Minor B Boys Ulster Final. This is at under 15 level for small schools. PCC Fulcara defeating Colistia Alia of Letterkenny by 5-1. Just back to that Gaelic Games very briefly. Mayo manager James Horne has made 4 changes to his side for that game against Meath that Martin was referring to there. James McCormick, Owen O'Donoghue, Kevin McLaughlin and Tommy Conroy all start. Aidan O'Shea is among those dropping out of the starting 15. And Kerry legend Kieran Donaghy feels GAA clubs should be financially rewarded when their players join AFL clubs. Tadhg Keneally revealed last month that Sydney Swans were willing to pay a fee to Listowel when he moved to Australia, but it was not permitted by the GAA. And I want to mention a couple of fixtures this weekend in college football as well. St Eunan's College of Letterkenny playing Patrician High School in that Danske Bank Macquarie Cup second round fixture. It's at Burn Road in Termon on Saturday. Throw-in is at 2 o'clock and all proceeds there go to the Callum Friel Memorial Fund. And there's action as well in the McLarnon Cup. Loretto Milford are playing St Patrick's of Downpatrick. That game is on Saturday at 1:30 in Garvahy. And there's a 2 o'clock throw-in at Celtic Park and Derry for the Airgrid Ulster GA Under 20 Football Championship. That's Derry against Fermanagh on Saturday. Dave Kilcoyne has been cleared to play in Ireland's Six Nations meeting with Wales on Saturday. The Munster prop came through the return to play protocols this week following a head injury sustained in the win over Scotland. Kilcoyne was named among the replacements for the Wales game earlier this week. And Ireland ladies, they opened their Six Nations campaign with a good win over Scotland last weekend. This Sunday, they are back in action against Wales. Women's rugby certainly on the rise, there's no doubt about that. And here in Donegal, it's thanks to the contribution of volunteer coaches in our clubs and schools that young players are getting a chance to play the sport. One of those coaches is with me now in studio, Alan McRae. You're welcome along to The Score.
Thank you, John.
You're involved with Finn Valley Rugby Club, Alan, and while you've made plenty of progress at underage level at the club, both with boys and girls, you'd like to get the numbers up and get more people involved.
Generally would indeed. To be honest, we can get many more girls and boys. Our probably biggest failing is we don't have enough coaches to take them on board. I have been going around various local schools in Balbuffet, Convoy, Raphoe, Castlefin, and there's great interest in especially girls rugby. And the problem is I can't bring them out of the schools until I get more coaches. So this is a heartfelt plea to anybody who lives around the Balbuffet or Fowey area. If you have even played a little bit of rugby, come on, give me a shout and we'll get you out doing a bit of coaching.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say girls rugby would be considered very much a minority sport, Alan. There's so much opportunities there for girls at soccer, at GAA, at athletics, at camogie, at other sports, but rugby is never really top of the agenda.
Yeah, that's very true. In fact, there's if you go when girls or boys, but girls especially go to university, the one thing they'll find is when the sports are divided up, there's maybe 300 or 400 lining up to play Gaelic football or soccer. And there'll only be 20 or 30 playing rugby. So there's a great chance for progression. The girls I've coached to date, There's a couple play regularly for university teams, and obviously one when I was coaching in Letterkenny, my Alcorn, who actually has played for Ireland under 18 sevens.
She may have got a special award last weekend at the Donegal Sports
Fair. I believe so, and thoroughly deserved.
Yeah.
That girl has total dedication printed on her heart.
Yeah.
She's a fantastic athlete.
So you would like to think there are more Maya Alcorns out there, more girls who, if they took up this sport and maybe gave it a go, you just never know.
Yes, there are plenty. The talent I've seen recently is unbelievable. And some of the girls coming in through at even 9 and 10 year old, the talent they have and the even dedication at this stage they have towards girls rugby is amazing.
Okay. Alan McRae of the Finn Valley Athletic Club is with me in studio. We've got another quick break. Stay with me, Alan. We've got more to talk about in terms of local rugby, but we're going to go for a quick commercial break.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Get everything you need for training and match days in store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to The Score. I'm joined in studio by Alan McRae of Finn Valley Rugby Club. And Alan is putting an appeal out there to young players and indeed adults who would like to perhaps help out with underage rugby at Finn Valley to come on board. I know, Alan, you've been round the schools and the response has been very, very positive. But for those players out there who might be listening or even their mums and dads who'd like to get their kids involved, what should they do?
Basically, come down on Saturday morning to the Finn Valley Centre, and we'll take it from there. They don't need any special gear, and we start them off basically with touch rugby, and we take people from 9 years on at the present moment, and by next year we'll be taking younger ones.
Okay, I mean, it's not just about the rugby, is it, Alan? This is all about being part of a club. I mean, there are days out. You take them to matches. So they've been to Ravenhill. They get loads of opportunities to go play against other clubs around the area. So it's plenty of fun to be had.
Yes, indeed. On Sunday, actually, I'm bringing the under-12 team down to Donnybrook, where the Ireland women are playing Welsh team. And they're playing at half-time. So we've got over 60 people travelling down to watch that event and see the little stars. It'll be a great day out for those young girls.
Yeah, because this region has produced international rugby players. They're household names now, Alan, and I mean, chatting to Sharon and Brendan earlier on in terms of the athletics, you know, the young players have got adults who have achieved so much at international level, they can just look up to them.
Yes, indeed. Larissa Mundoon and Laura Feely both come from Ballybuffet. Both are in the squad playing at the weekend.
Yeah.
So Larissa, she went to Dewey's Primary School, and or went to St Mary's.
Yeah.
So it creates a great interest in the in the area. As well as that, recently, I think it's finished this week, there is actually a mural made of the two girls in Navaney Street, just above, I'm told, just beside Finn Harps Ground. So it's not finished yet.
Yeah. Perfect little presentation there just to celebrate the success of those two girls.
Definitely. And we will be meeting them both down there when we're down.
Fantastic. Alan, it's great to have you in. It'd be great to chat to you much longer because we could have so much to talk about. I mean, but plenty of progress being made at Finn Valley Rugby Club. You have had ups and downs in recent seasons since your formation, but I mean, it's all positive, and the message out there is that the club is open and anybody looking to get involved is more than welcome.
Yeah, the only way is up.
The only way is up. Alan McRae, thanks very much for joining us. Well,
thank you, John.
Going back to Gaelic games very briefly, Donegal ladies, they got up and running in Division 1 of the Little Ladies National League with their first one of the campaign in Waterford last weekend. That was after their opening weekend defeat at the hands of Mayo. This Sunday, the Donegal ladies play All-Ireland finalist Galway in the first game of that doubleheader with Galway at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. And Donegal manager Maxi Kern says it's a great window to showcase ladies football.
It's not without a note of caution. You know, we're going in against a Galway team that got to the two national finals last year, Division 1 and the All-Ireland. So, you know, it's a very formidable outfit, and it's definitely going to be a challenge for us, and it's going to be it's no cakewalk by any stretch of imagination, even as a home game. So there's a wee bit of trepidation from that viewpoint. But look, we're really looking forward to it. There are always lovely occasions for the girls to be involved in, and there are great occasions for the LGFA to be part of in terms of the overall development of the game.
What are the pluses?
It's bringing the game to a whole new audience that do not see ladies football. That's the big thing. You know, the amount of times I have met people in the last couple of years who've seen us play as part of a doubleheader and would say, God, we had no idea the quality of the game was so good. We had no idea that so-and-so was such a good player, that so-and-so was, you know, as skillful as they are. The game itself is as skillful as they are. The athleticism of the girls and the conditioning, you know, that condition that they're in has, you know, blown people away over the last number of years, and that's something that, you know, certain segments of the GAA fraternity wouldn't see if they hadn't been part of a doubleheader. So that's the big thing. I think for us as a team, it's great to be involved in days where the pressure rises a bit because of the crowd and because of the occasion. Last year we had a doubleheader with Throne in the first round of the Ulster Championship, and this year we're looking like, fingers crossed, it'll be something similar. Both ourselves and the men are home to Tyrone on the first weekend, the 17th of May. So there's if we can get the Ducks lined up, that'll be a double header as well, hopefully. So, you know, that comes with it, a bit of added pressure on the day for the girls. So it's great for them to have been part of double headers prior to that, to get the experience out of it and to take a wee bit of the nervousness out of it. We also have a number of new girls in the game this year, so it's very new to them to have to deal with these occasions. So listen, it's a win-win for us in so many ways.
Would you like to see more of them?
Well, I think so. Look, there's lots of different competitions vying for these key slots. You know, you've got your under-20s and you've got your minors and things like that have historically been played on alongside the men's things. But I think the senior men and senior women, their calendars kind of align pretty well for it to happen, probably more so than the underage. But listen, I think it's a shop window for whether it be the GAA or the LGFA, you know, to showcase their talents and their qualities. The senior game is where the crowds are coming to. It's where all the attention is. And, you know, people will come to watch the Donegal senior team that won't watch anybody else. And if you can get your underage teams or your women's team out before that, you're bringing that team to an audience that they wouldn't have otherwise have got. So listen, it's a win-win. And from a ladies' perspective, we're lucky. We have this one. We have another one in 3 weeks. We're home to Cork and Ballyshannon as a curtain raiser to the men's game against Monaghan. So, you know, that's two. And I think that'll, you know, stand us in good stead. Yeah, I say if the Tyrone doubleheader comes off in Balbuffet.
Anyway, two games in, a defeat and a victory, a great big win down in Waterford last weekend.
Yeah. Look, high drama, high tension. You know, you can say on one hand we were quite fortunate to get a goal in the 65th minute to win the game, but you know, you can also say we were unfortunate to be in this predicament in the first place, because we were, you know, 2 points up going down the straight the last couple of minutes. We had just hit the crossbar and Waterford went down and got a goal that you know, possibly shouldn't have got. There was a wee bit of controversy. The ref blew the whistle as the wee Waterford girl was kicking the ball, so you know, our girls would have stopped and the ball went in the top corner, and there's a wee bit of controversy, and you know, our girls would have felt a bit hard done by. So I think we got the rub of the green then by the referee. He realised that he may not have handle the situation brilliantly, and he might have played a couple extra minutes that he may not have played had the goal not gone in. So it was a very enjoyable day, and you know, getting the victory in the end definitely shortened the journey. And but look, very proud of the girls, the efforts. It's no easy thing. You know, we would have travelled down Friday night, the girls would have went to work, and we got on the bus, and it's a 6-7 hour journey down on the Friday night to, you know, stay in a strange bed in a hotel. We got there 10 o'clock and you're up at 8, get your breakfast and way down the road to Dungarvan, and you play the game at 12. So you know, that's not easy. And, you know, Waterford on the back of a brilliant one the week before against Galway. So they were riding high, and I'm sure they were targeting this as a game that they needed to win in terms of retaining their own position in Division 1. So, listen, there's a lot of things stacked against us, and very proud of the girls. They played with a Gale Force one in the first half and scored 5 points, and played against the scale in the second half and scored 2-5. So they showed, you know, a real bit of steel and a bit of character, and, you know, that bit's very pleasing with 6 or 7 new girls in, you know, that are in the first campaign, and for them to, you know, to fight tooth and nail the way they did was very pleasing, and Luck was just very proud of their efforts in the day.
As you said, Galway will be a different kettle of fish. Obviously, they got the loss to Waterford the first day out, but certainly they came back last week with a bang.
They did, and you know, Galway are a top outfit. They're you know, been kingpins in Connacht for the last 2 or 3 years, and, you know, making national finals as a league in All Ireland regularly over the last couple of years as well. So look, I suppose, next to ourselves and like a lot of the top teams, you know, they're definitely missing a number of players at the minute, so they're maybe just not as formidable as they are at high season, but it'll still be a huge challenge for us, and a great learning curve for us in terms of us as management learning about the players, and for the players themselves learning about how the inter-county game is played, and to play against a top side like Galway will be of great benefit to them.
And team wise how are you fixed? I know as we speak some of your ladies getting ready to play a college game.
Yeah, the Irish MLYT are playing their championship now against DCU today, and Niamh Boyle is playing for NUA Galway tomorrow, and I think Tara Hegarty's playing in Dublin as well. So listen, we have a few playing, but look, everybody's in the same boat. We're not different than anybody else, and as I say, you know, we're not missing any more than anybody else is missing at this time of year, and, you know, every other team is college players playing, so it's a pretty level playing field. But look, we have what we have. We have a relatively small squad at the minute. We're working off 23-24 players, and quite a bit of an experience in that. There's probably 9 or 10 that are new to the inter-county scene within that, so it's exciting for them, and it's, you know, it's daunting, but it's you know, we have a group that we're very happy with. We have a couple of very, you know, very very seasoned players and experienced campaigners, the likes of Geraldine and Nicole McLaughlin and Emery Galler and Deirdre Foley's, you know, playing the football of her life, so it's great to have those kind of girls. About Emma Corey has come back in. She would have played a couple of years ago, had a rough enough time with injury, and she was got the goal at the tail end last week, so it's good to have her back. So look, we have a mixture of very very young youth, and we'll call them middle of the road youth, because you know, the older girls are all in their mid-20s. You know, our average age is very young at the minute, so it's a nice blend, and hopefully we've get everybody through the college games this weekend. We should have a clean bill of health.
And tell me, what are you looking forward to for the weekend? What would be a good outing?
Oh, well, listen, to get the 3 points would be brilliant. You know, nobody wants to get relegated, and while you know, it's not the be all or end all for us, you know, the getting relegated or getting to a league final, you know, it's all relative to the grand scheme of things, and that's, you know, finding a couple of footballers that have quitted themselves well in the league that you can consider championship players. That's the main goal. That's the number one objective of a league campaign. But look, if we could get the 3 points, it'd be great. Otherwise, you know, you want to see a good solid performance. You want to see the girls that are able to stand up to the conditions of the elements. It's not going to be pretty in February. It never is. You know, it's a big wide pitch in Letterkenny, very demanding. You want people who are able to, you know, who are able to cover the ground and show the appetite and hunger to get up and down that big massive field. So, you know, all those things are important, and, you know, Galway are going to come with a couple of fabulous players, Roisin Leonard, Tracy Leonard, and we want to see if we have defenders that can handle them, and that's all the things you're looking out for. So look, there's, I suppose, plenty of wee subplots, but if we could get the 3 points, we'd be delighted.
Maxie Kern there in conversation with Tom Comack. Such a good result for Donegal last weekend away to Waterford. Hopefully they can follow that up with another good result this Sunday against Galway. That game throws in at 12 o'clock. Tipperary against Westmeath, Dublin against Cork, and Mayo against Dublin. The other games in the Little Ladies National Football League Division 1 all on Sunday. Tyrone play Clare in Division 2. That's at 4 o'clock on Saturday. And on Sunday at 1 o'clock, Derry host Offaly. Mark English, his target of Olympic qualification starts this weekend in New York. The Letterkenny man will compete in the 800 metres at the Millrose Games on Saturday night. Best luck to Mark there. And the National Intermediate and Masters Cross Country is on this Saturday. That's taking place at Rathdrum in County Wicklow. and a latest score from that Ulster Senior League game, which has been played tonight at Dry Arch Park. It's Bonnygee United 0, Derry City Reserves 1, the visitors in front after only 5 minutes there through Keelan McLaughlin. So that's about it for me tonight. My thanks to Brendan O'Donnell, to Sharon Foley and Alan McRae. They were my guests in studio tonight. Rosemary's up next. From myself, Dermot Doherty, have a very good evening.